Hi, welcome to This Week on Channel 9. And actually, this we could call this the This Month on Channel 9 episode because it's been about a month since we last did one of these.
That's right.
So there's a lot to talk about.
We have quite a bit to talk about this week.
I'm Robert Green. You may remember me from such Channel 9 shows as Visual Studio Toolbox and the Dev Intersection Countdown Show.
That's awesome. I'm jealous. So I'm Scott Klein. You might remember me from shows as Data Exposed and SQL Unplugged with Sean Bice
awesome.
And Rohan Kumar.
And we're here to bring you up to speed on the news. And we are using secret devices.
Yep.
This is the Surface Pro 3 teleprompter edition.
That's right.
We snuck these out of a lab in Studio Double Z. And we're going to use them today.
Yep.
And
we got permission
from
the...
we don't get in trouble.
That's right.
You got permission?
From the people in Building 7.
Oh, I forgot to ask. All right, so let's begin.
All right.
Heading up the news is that Microsoft announced that we'll be acquiring Xamarin. Xamarin is the maker of a very excellent set of tools that give you the ability inside Visual Studio to build apps that run on iOS, Android, and Windows. So if you know XAML... if you know C Sharp, then you can build a common layer, your data layer, your business layer, and use it from across iOS, Android, and Windows apps.
Yep.
And the XAML part comes in because they have a technology called Xamarin Forms, which is a XAML-based UI. So you build your UI once, iOS, Android, Windows, in XAML,
yep.
You write your code in C Sharp, and then the app runs in multiple places, iOS, Android, Windows. It's just amazing.
Amazing. So what does this mean for, because this is apparently has been, got a lot of traction prior to Microsoft acquiring Xamarin. Mm. What does this mean for folks now?
Well, it means that the Xamarin folks will be coming over here and working.
Yep.
In terms of availability and pricing, we haven't announced yet, but apparently at Build, which last time anybody checked is a couple weeks from now.
Yep.
We might have more to say about that, so I would urge you guys
tuned.
To check out at Build for some announcements.
Perfect.
About Xamarin, but this is very, very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yes.
All right, next up, HoloLens. So if you weren't paying attention, not too long ago they announced HoloLens, and recently they announced the HoloLens Developer Edition available for pre-order shipping March 30th,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you have been ordering or have been, put your order in, so I'm thrilled to announce that starting today, developer applicants will start receiving information and invitations to purchase the Microsoft HoloLens Development Edition. So if you went and registered, then if you applied, you'll start getting announcements around that.
HoloLens is very, very cool.
This is cool. So,
yes.
It was interesting because I started watching, was out on YouTube the other night, and they were showing people that were in the HoloLens, right? There was one guy, he's like, the guy scared him to death. He's like, he looks like a car ran him over. He's like jumping out of the way, and people were freaking out.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of excitement around this. And so from a developer perspective, mm-hmm. man, this is the ability to start, just like the band, right? Start developing applications for HoloLens.
There's lots of really interesting uses for it. It'd be very interesting to see what people do.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too. I think, like the band, I think I'm very interested on what exactly that. What are people going to do with this technology?
Yeah, lots of cool things.
Yep.
All right. Next story is that Microsoft announced that we've joined the Eclipse Foundation. Now, you might wonder, why are we joining the Eclipse Foundation? Isn't Eclipse a Java IDE? Isn't that what people mostly use Eclipse for? You might ask that question, Scott.
I might ask that question. Let me ask that question.
Okay, ask that question.
No, go ahead.
Well, it turns out that we make a number of tools for Java developers. We have a couple plugins for Eclipse that give you the ability to work with Azure.
Yep.
We also have increasingly excellent support inside Eclipse for Visual Studio Team services.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the Team Explorer Everywhere, which gives you the ability to work with your VSTS managed projects from outside of Eclipse, any environment. So because we've been building tools for Eclipse and because we want to make Eclipse a great tool for people targeting Azure and our other high value services, we decided to just go the rest of the route, join the Eclipse Foundation. We've open sourced Team Explorer Everywhere. And so, it's in this open world, rather than just build tools and then, kind of toss them over the wall to be used in other environments. It's more of a collaborative thing. You know, Eclipse is open source. You know, we've got open source tools. It's really more of a getting into the community and building tools together kind of
thing. Yeah, does this allow us then to put, to have more voice into what goes into Eclipse and things like that, or?
Yeah, sure. Quite possibly.
Awesome.
It certainly gives us a better opportunity to build tools that can plug into Eclipse.
You know? Okay, yeah.
I guess it remains to be seen how much we actually contribute to Eclipse. I think we're probably pretty busy with Visual Studio.
Yep.
But sure, that certainly opens that up.
That's one of these things where I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with
that.
Right? All right, next story. So Mongo Game. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mongo Game. Are you familiar with Mongo Game?
I know there's a MongoDB, but I don't know Mongo Game. I suspect they're
not the same thing. We can make some incorrect assumptions and say that Mongo Game runs on MongoDB, but that might not be correct, so don't take that as gospel.
Data is not a game, Scott. Data is serious business. I don't know if you know this. Data is serious.
We're very serious about data around here. And we'll be getting to that shortly, so stay tuned.
Okay.
So Mongo Game, I don't anybody familiar with Mongo Game? Mongo Game is coming to Xbox One. This is cool stuff. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Mongo Game. I do know quite a bit about Xbox One, but for developers, that means they're announcing a couple new things that can get grew directly out of developer feedback around Mongo Game and Xbox One, right? So things like cross-network play. Developers can say, hey, we're enabling developers to support cross-network play as well. That means developers on Xbox One and Windows 10 can target developers across Xboxes, things like that, right? So that's kind of cool. Things like Mongo Game support. We're welcoming Xbox with... I think there's a lot of work going around Mongo Game. I don't know a whole lot about that. Maybe I'm going to have to start playing with that and looking at that. But cool. I think if you're a Mongo Game... guru and like playing with that, then
coming
it's on Xbox One. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, love that.
All right. Next up are the R tools for Visual Studio. This is a public preview. Now, R is a data language.
Yep. R is actually a developer for pirates. Pirates use R all the time.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
That's the best you could do. The other use of R is as a data language for statistical and data analysis. It's used very much in the world of machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used as a sidelight in the advanced baseball statistics. So the sabermetricians, the folks that are into the advanced analytics and for baseball stats, use R quite a bit. If you know C Sharp, you can actually learn R pretty quickly. I've seen talks on that. So it wouldn't be that hard to figure it out. So if you want to start analyzing data using R, we have a plugin now in Visual Studio.
Yeah, and this
got IntelliSense and project management and all kinds of cool
stuff. It's
good
to see this because if you've been watching kind of the SQL Server 2016 announcements, and one of the features in there is R support, right? So I think this is, goes hand in hand with, that now you've got R support in Visual Studio, R support in SQL Server, so it makes the entire, really completes the circle for how we do data analysis, in R across the entire platform.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. We've obviously spent a fair amount of time with tooling for building Windows 10 apps on the Universal Windows Platform, UWP. Great support inside Visual Studio. Lots of great documentation on MSDN, MVA courses. So if you're if you're an existing Visual Studio developer and you want to build Windows 10 apps, there's a ton of resources out there for you. What if you are not already a Windows developer? What if you're an iOS developer or an Android developer and you want to start building Windows applications? How do you kind of make the mental transition from the concepts and models you're used to in your current development over in Windows? I mean, on one level, it's all the same. There's a UI, there's data, there's code that make things happen, but at the at the architectural level, we talk about things differently, we think about things differently. So what we've come up with is basically a mapping of concepts in iOS, the equivalent concept in Android, and the equivalent concept on UWP. So we'll take a lot of the mystery out of it, a lot of the how do I, it's not so much that what code do I write to do this, it's what do they call it over in Windows, right? Yeah. You know, how many times have you gone over to learn how to do something and they use a different language than you do, right?
Right.
We call it the trunk of the car, the Brits call it the boot, right? So yep. If someone says open the boot, you have no idea what they're talking about when in fact it just means the trunk.
Yep.
So I guess you could think about this at that level. Once you know that trunk and boot are the same, then you know what to do.
Yep.
So I think we're trying to make that a little bit easier for people coming over to UWP. That should be really useful.
Yep, cool. All right, next up, Windows App Studio.
That was a great analogy, don't you think?
Love that.
I just came up with that on the fly.
You are the master of analogies.
I didn't even have to work on that.
You did.
It was just popped into my head.
Bam, yeah. Just like that. I was thinking elevator and lift.
Oh, that's another good
one. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So you can boot the lift. All right, next up.
I'm going to boot you if you don't keep going.
Why, there's a language for pirates. All right, next up, the Windows App Studio February update. They didn't get this into the last show on last month with Channel 9. So there's a new update for App Studio,
mm-hmm.
And there's essentially what this is doing is it's an update with a bunch of new features, things like grouped layout, date and time, and date time time date data types. You can search within an app. You've got collection favorites. You got service improvements to improve, make the experience smoother, performance updates, things
app
like
Studio's
that.
It's kind of interesting because it's a way to build Windows 10 apps without necessarily having to go into Visual Studio, file new project, create a lot of UI yourself, write a lot of plumbing code yourself.
Yep.
App Studio is kind of several abstraction layers above where you can build apps. The cool thing about it is that it actually does build the same projects as Visual Studio. So you could build an app in App Studio and then open it in Visual Studio.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is actually
Is this
cool.
Targeted for maybe higher, I don't want to say higher, you know, I don't want to offend any developers out there, but kind of higher level, maybe I'm not writing code or?
Could be certainly people that aren't developing, or could be, you know, somebody who's, you know, spending their day job building web applications or maintaining Win32, Windows Forms, excuse me, or WPF applications,
yep.
Wants to build a Win10 application, certainly maybe wants to learn how to do it, but, you know, just in the meantime, let's get a quick thing out.
Yeah.
So, you know, something that just manages, you know, scheduling a conference room or something like that.
Okay.
You know, you got kind of a choice of, you know, App Studio gives you the ability to bang it out pretty quickly, or, of course, you could learn how to do it the real way.
Yeah, right. Real men use Visual
the
Studio.
The real way. Real men and women, yes.
Real men and women use Visual Studio.
Yep.
All right, next topic. This is one that I'm passionate about because if you're a IoT device developer, Raspberry Pi just came out with
Pi. I love Pi. Yeah. I am passionate about Pi.
That's right. Love Pi.
I am more partial to blueberry, cherry, and apple, but raspberry's okay.
Raspberry's okay. I'm a cherry, apple guy
pie.
Myself. Excuse us while we take a moment. All right. But the Raspberry Pi Foundation just announced and released the Raspberry Pi 3.
Mm-hmm.
I just got mine in the mail. Love it.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And the big difference here is still $35, so that's no different, right? But the big difference between this really is the two key main features. And there's if you go out to Raspberry Pi Foundation, or, you know, it's raspberrypi.org. They'll get a whole list of what's the difference between the 2 and the 3. But the two key ones are that the Raspberry Pi 3 enables Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, right? Which
cool.
is kind of cool. So,
Bluetooth is new.
Bluetooth is new, Wi-Fi is new. So you got the 1.2 gigahertz, 64-bit quad core, blah, 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 right? Supports, completely compatible with the Raspberry Pi 1 and 2. I like this. You know, it's if you look at it, you really can't tell, you know, quite visually at first glance what's the difference. But there's some, and really, if you're developing on a Pi 2, it's really not that, you know, it's almost plug and play into the Pi 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that, I haven't fired up my Pi 3 because I just got it, but I'm going to be doing that this weekend. But I think if you're a devices person, then, you know, this is for you. So, again, $35, you cannot beat that.
Cool.
Right? So, especially, you know, with the Windows IoT support, yeah. Man, boot that right up. I got it, you get it up and running in just a matter of minutes, honestly.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's it's cool. Very cool.
Cool. So, you talked about HoloLens earlier.
Yep.
And how the HoloLens Developer Edition is available and will be shipping soon. As people are building Working with HoloLens and building apps, certainly we want to give them great documentation. We have a bunch of that. We've got tooling, but we are also going to provide our things that we're calling experiences. So basically, these are apps that you'll be able to get, HoloLens apps, that is somebody who has the developer edition, you'll be able to get from the Windows Store. They're not available publicly yet because, of course, the HoloLens isn't available publicly yet. Mm-hmm. But if you actually get a HoloLens developer edition, then we're going to ship a series of apps that you can run on your HoloLens, including Skype, okay. And one called Holo Studio, and then another one that gives you the ability to create 3D games and shapes and whatnot. So a number of apps that you can run on your HoloLens Developer Edition to get a better sense of what apps look like and help you in development.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Awesome. All right, next up. So March is kind of a key focus for the maker community, and there's this movement out there called the LED movement, and Scott Hanselman has been very involved in this movement. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but really what this is if you want to get into the maker space and get started, you know, go out to Scott Hanselman's blog and just kind of see what he's doing out there. There's a lot of highlights, a lot of news about what's going on. There's podcasts, blogs, YouTube videos, things that all about the different things and different things and different projects people are working on. Easy to get started, and just because we were just talking about, you know, the Raspberry Pi. A lot of the maker stuff that we're doing, you know, Raspberry Pi, Arduino is another one that a lot of projects going around that support Windows IoT Core supports. So I think there's a lot of movement out there. I highly recommend going out to Scott Hanselman blogs and to the IoT site on MSDN and just kind of see how do I get involved in the LED movement.
Yeah, right? So it's a good opportunity to get started.
Yep, to get started and you know, just doing. I mean, think about it. it's fun to tinker, but this is you know it's an opportunity to take a step back and go, what cool stuff can I do? How can I make an impact and do good for my fellow man, right? So I got a little $35 device. What cool stuff can I do? Just use your imagination. Great stuff. Cool. And so this is kind of a how to get started.
Excellent.
Yep.
Speaking of Raspberry Pi.
Oh, is that mine too? Yeah, okay, sorry. Yep, I had two in a row. Sorry. All right, so speaking of Raspberry Pi.
Pace yourself.
Okay, so speaking of Raspberry Pi, Visual Studio Code on Raspberry Pi. So if you're, again, add on Scott Hanselman's blog, he actually did a good job talking about, because he also got his Raspberry Pi 3. He did a YouTube video and some posts about how to get started with Visual Studio Code on Raspberry Pi, right? So again, it kind of goes on with the previous topic. If you want to just know how to get started, you know, there's some great resources, and Scott Hanselman is one, right? How to just get started with Raspberry Pi, plug it in, almost plug and play and go.
So is he running Visual Studio Code on the Pi?
No, he's not running Visual
Studio.
But
he's using Visual Studio Code to build things.
To build
on
things,
the Pi.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep,
okay.
That's correct. Yep.
All right, that makes more sense.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's some tutorials out there, you know, how to set up a VNC server for the Raspberry Pi. You can, you know, almost RDP into that, things like that. So, yeah, great information on how to get started out there.
Cool.
Yep. All right. Is the next one mine too?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. All right. So this is an interesting one, Minecraft, because I have never played Minecraft, but I've seen it played. My son plays it all the time. Project AIX, using Minecraft to build more intelligent technology. There's a lot of these hackathons that are focused on you know, how do we get, you know, gaming hackathons, and they use Minecraft as one of one of the examples. But here is a just information on how Microsoft a lot of the information on how we're using Minecraft to do gaming and IoT space and things like that, right? So if you go out to blogs.microsoft.com and search, you know, kind of the AIX scenario, you'll find this blog post. Quite good on how to just develop and do kind of IoT around gaming. And really what they're doing is the Microsoft office out of the Cambridge is actually using, what they're doing is they're using Minecraft to improve how AIX works, right? So it's a group conducting research designed to improve artificial intelligence. And it's interesting, kind of, they're using a game to improve how artificial intelligence works. I haven't played Minecraft, but apparently there's some things in there that allow you to figure, how we can improve artificial intelligence through game plan, and specifically artificial intelligence. And the more I think about it, if you think about, it really, if you've ever watched Minecraft played, there's no such thing as time, almost time and space. You can walk in the air, you can write things like that. So I can kind of get that, right? But it'd be interesting to talk to them, see what they're finding out. So stay tuned for that.
Okay.
All right. Lastly, real time Internet of Things experience from the edge of space. This is a new project that you can actually join with. Hmm. Again, it's an IoT thing, and they're actually looking for people. How do we do IoT from the edge of space? How can we start getting using IoT? They just shot up a couple of Raspberry Pi 2s in the last rocket launch, right? To figure out, to hook up to the International Space Station. So there's a lot of so if you want to go out to again blogs.msdn.com.
All right. So, Scott, how we have .NET?
Yes.
Which is traditionally run on Windows.
Yep.
And then how we invented this thing called .NET Core, which is open source and runs on Windows and Mac and Linux.
Mm-hmm.
So you can write .NET code that, if you compile it down to the .NET Core, will run on multiple operating systems.
Yep.
Now, to compile, you need to be able to build. And we have a service called MS Build, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up to now, in order to do the building, you had to be on Windows, because MS Build was Windows only. Well, we are pleased to announce that MS Build is now been ported over to .NET Core, so you can actually build your C# code into an executable running on .NET Core and not have to be on Windows when you do that.
Yep.
So the build system, making it over to cross-platform, gets us just one step closer to having the full .NET stack and more of the tooling. I shouldn't say the full .NET stack, because the core is a subset of the stack. It's the full vision of .NET running on multiple platforms, as well as tooling as well. So that's a great another step in the right direction.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
Okay, I don't know if you are familiar with the Succinctly series of ebooks on SyncFusion's website.
Mm-mm.
I learned about these a couple of years ago. They're basically 40, 80 page, sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long, ebooks on a variety of topics. And they're free, which is very cool. They've got something like 80 by now. I've downloaded probably 20 or 30 of them. And they're just great ways to learn about something written by experts, written by some people we know. One of the latest ones, written by Alessandro Del Sol, who's an MVP, great guy, has written one on Roslyn. And so Roslyn, of course, is the .NET compiler. It's the rewriting of the compilers that we introduced in .NET 4.6 in Visual Studio 2015.
Yep.
And his book talks about what does that mean? What is the .NET compiler? What does it mean to be rewritten? What are the things you can do inside Visual Studio? And then how do you do things like write your own code analyzers, create your own refactorings? One of the cool things about Roslyn is not only the things that you get inside Visual Studio, but things that you can write yourself. So there are a number of people who have already written code analyzers. And Alessandro's book does a really nice job of kind of succinctly talking about Roslyn and how you do things with it. So if you're just going to use Visual Studio 2015, never write your own code analyzer, but you want to understand a little bit more about what's going on, it's a great book. And then it's a nice kickstart if you want to start building your own stuff. So I highly recommend it. And of course, it is free.
Wow. Yes. I'm signing up right now.
Next up is something called Project Ace, which gives you the ability inside an Apache Cordova app to call native UI. So the Visual Studio tools for Apache Cordova, lovingly referred to as Taco, give you the ability using JavaScript and HTML to write apps that run on multiple platforms, iOS, Android, Windows. Now, because you're writing HTML and JavaScript, you're running in a web view. And you might say, well, there are times when I want to be able to call native controls. So this Project Ace gives you the ability to essentially add native control support into your Apache Cordova applications.
Yep.
A few weeks ago, I did a Visual Studio Toolbox with Ryan Salva, where that was one of the subjects we covered. So if you're interested in this, then I'll just point you to the Toolbox show.
Yep.
All right, it is now time for our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Woo!
In keeping with my developer tendencies, I chose a developer tool.
Okay.
And that would be the React Native extension for Visual Studio Code. Now, React Native is a JavaScript framework that gives you the ability to create native applications. We talked earlier about how a Cordova application is not a native application but can use native controls.
Yep.
React Native gives you the ability to literally write native applications in JavaScript. And we just recently announced support for that inside Visual Studio Code,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool.
That is very cool.
Yes.
All right.
Top that with your pick of the week.
All right. Challenge accepted. All right. My pick of the week is an announcement we made last week. SQL Server support on Linux.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Trump. That's pretty key.
That's pretty
you
key.
Win.
I win. Uh-huh. All right. So think about it, right? We've been running on, you know, we started out on, if you go back way back in time, SQL Server started out on OS2, right?
Yeah.
Sybase, you know, kind of, and so we started going, and now we're Windows. This opens up, you know, this announcement, and they announced it at the SQL Server launch event in New York recently. And this opens up a whole new world of just opportunities for
yeah.
Microsoft, right? Not just Windows, but imagine being able to, you know, for running, you know, just downloading SQL Server and installing it on Linux, right? And having the full-blown, fully capable relational database, 2016, that provides, you know, and let's back up, you know, 2016 is just this massive, impressive release. It's got Polybase, you know, R, StretchDB, you know, operational analytics, temporal, just all these great features.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine doing that on Linux as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very, very cool.
This is very cool. This is just, you know, there's enough cannot be said about, you know, and, you know, there have been, I think I saw the number, there have been, because you can actually up today go and be an early previewer. You can sign up to say, hey, I want to get early bits, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the, I'm going to say, 7-ish days that this since this announcement, I, give or take, you know, I can't remember exactly, but 8,000 people, 8,000 companies have said, I want to.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's very,
I want
very
to participate.
Nice.
This just, yeah, this, cha-ching. Beat that.
All right, so that
right.
was our rather longish this week on Channel 9, but we did have an awful lot of stuff to talk about.
We did?
When you get the two of us together, we just tend to ramble.
Yeah, we learned a lot. We learned
we
that
did.
Pirates code. And
you're pirates. And we learned that we like pie.
We did, yeah.
Yes. So thanks for watching.
All right.
Later.
See you next time.